This is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron for November 28th, 2012. This year's almost flipping over. Makes me so very sad.
And if we're really lucky, then the world is almost over.
What, 3 more weeks?
3 weeks.
If you don't factor in the fact that our calendars are asynchronous because we've only been on the Gregorian calendar for, what, 500 years? No, 300 years, something like that?
They haven't adjusted for that. I thought that was like a myth thing. I thought they had already adjusted
I don't know. But that's what I heard.
I've seen so much nonsense posted.
It's all nonsense.
I mean, not even just that. It's just like people keep posting stuff, and I'm like, Snopes, 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 you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But this is the Transformers Podcast. I'm Brian Kilby, your host. With me, I have Rob Clay and J.D. Church.
Why is J.D. Church here? We don't know.
We'll get into that in a second. No XV or John DeLuna this week. John is apparently at work. We miss John. So I want to start off this week with a mention of a couple things that I just wanted to get out there. So if you are a fan of the podcast, and if you're watching, you should be, or any of our shows, go to tfradio.net/Android. If you have an Android phone, if you don't, go anyway. Why not?
Go get one.
Android's awesome. And you can install our Android apps. We actually have a couple, and I will pull those up right now. You can see those. We have a Superhero Time app, which is just added recently. We have a Radio Free Cybertron app, a Fanboy Versus app, and a app around all our shows, which are in video. So just go to tfradio.net/Android, click on the link, and you can install it. So do it. It's another way to get RFC. We would appreciate it. And one more way you can actually get Radio Free Cybertron is on your TV. If you have a Wii, I guess also a Wii U, I don't have one of those, a PS3, an Xbox, you can watch us on the YouTube channel. Just go to tfradio.net/YouTube and subscribe to our channel. If you have a Roku, which I actually happen to have an extra one right here in my hand, this is actually the reason I wanted to mention it.
Probably doesn't do you any good, though.
No, yeah,
you probably work a lot better if they're hooked up to a TV.
Yeah, that's true. I love my Roku. It's like my favorite thing. They're cheap, too. Man, they're awesome. But you can actually watch us there on the Blip.TV app. We're under, for some reason, video games. But, yeah, you know, you can also watch us, Shady. You watch us on your, what is it? Your TiVo?
TiVo, yeah.
So there are lots of ways.
Yeah. It's just subscribe through the Blip. You just need the Blip RSS.
Yeah, it's super easy. I'm actually writing up a guide for it right now. But as video expands, I realized this was going to be a big deal when we were at JD's house for BotCon this past year, and we were watching New Soundwave, and, like, my God, it looked awesome. And it was way more fun watching it on the TV. It's like a lean-back experience.
You can invite your friends over and be like, look at this thing.
And you should all download it. You each need to download it individually.
Yeah. But you can use YouTube on TiVo as well, so that's available also.
Yeah, but I'm starting to watch all my stuff on my TV this way, and I enjoy it way more. So don't forget, again, tfradio.net/YouTube, and I'm working on a page, a guide to tell you how to get it on Roku, Apple TV, and everything else. But I wanted to mention that because that's important. So I want to go ahead and jump to the news. There is no tformers.com news desk this week. We only have a couple of items I'm going to lead off with. I don't think we have details yet, and if I'm wrong, correct me, please. The Transformers Collectors Club in issue 48... which is coming out right now. I don't know if anyone's received it yet.
First class people should be getting them soon.
They're unveiling their BotCon set, basically.
Theme,
yeah. So
not the set, I don't think. I think it's just the theme.
The theme, yeah. On the cover, it's Circuit. And initially what I thought was the Car Wash of Doom, but it looks like it's the car lot from the first Transformers movie.
Right, it's Bobby B, which is the Bobby Bolivia from the first movie, yeah. So, which makes me think it may be a movie theme. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think not who the shadowy figure is on the logo, but they said that would be connected as well. So.
But yeah, so.
This is another point that's got me ticked, because it seems like that's reasonable, because it seems like those molds would be available, you know?
Oh, and they haven't done anything with them. If they're doing a movie theme, I'm almost certain they would be using molds other than movie molds. I mean, I know that makes no sense, but why would you get, like, a bumblebee that's based on the bumblebee mold? Or unless you get, like, a mold that's based on the movie molds that are something else.
I think they would use the movie molds and make them something else. They would be stuff in the movie universe.
Some of the molds aren't bad, but most of them are just awful.
They're crap. For the most part.
I hate to say it, I don't really want to see them reuse animated molds too much. Because if it's not animated, it just doesn't feel right.
Right.
I kind of hate that.
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of a very particular thing, so.
Let's see here. One more thing before I let JD tell. He's upset this week, and he'll tell you why. I saw on T-Formers earlier this week, that the Creo Microchanger Wave 1 blind pack package ID codes have been revealed. So those should be shipping soon. I think they've already hit Singapore, but they look pretty awesome, especially Springer. Springer looks especially great. Hook looks nice. Bludgeon looks great. And, Dirge and the rest are pretty cool. Warpath's okay. I'm kind of saddened that there's an Arachnid, but, you know. But really, really, really looking forward to getting these. So I really freaking love Creo so much.
Shatters, that it'll probably be the best Arachnid toy they've made.
Yeah, it's also
it can be hard. Yeah.
It'll probably be sad. It'll probably be the last wave of these that we get. I bought a built to roll G.I. Joe kit, still sealed in the box at a local antique store / pawn shop. The guy has just a ton of G.I. Joe stuff. And I was going through the stuff, looking for things I didn't have. And I saw that, and I'm like, man, I don't have this one. I'm going to get it. And I started opening it last night, and I stopped myself, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to get the figure from inside of it, because at least it's decent, but otherwise, why? But so I stopped myself, and I'm leaving it sealed. So, JD, so there was some news this week, I think, or something you uncovered, and it's got you a little miffed.
This is like the final straw, basically. I mean, we'd seen some of the pieces of this, which is the, of course, we know the next part of Transformers Prime is Beast Suckers.
Gosh.
And so we got some actual, like, figure, two sets. There's, like, figure pictures, and then there's, like, the figures in the packaging. And it's god-awful. I mean, it is just freaking atrocious. I mean, the figures we kind of knew because we had seen, some of the pictures before, because it's just spikes everywhere. I mean, it's like Rob Liefeld went through and redesigned these figures. And then the packaging is awful. I mean, it's just crap. It's like this white background with an indistinguishable dragon monster thing. I have zero interest whatsoever in this line. None. I mean, this is worse than repaints. It's like, take figures that may have been decent before, make them suck by putting a bunch of spikes on them, and then put them in crap packaging. This is just... I didn't want to see it.
That bad, really?
I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
But the bulkhead has the horns and the helmet.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
it's amazing.
On the plus side, I got Follow Cybertron for $25 last week.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
That's good, right? So, yeah.
perfectly good Wheeljack mold ruined by just putting a bunch of kibble junk on it.
This is sort of reminiscent to me of the 2002 Masters of the Universe series, when they would take like the perfectly decent-ish figures and like turn them into like the Snake Men, you know, retools and such. You take a figure that kind of looks okay, and then you make it look really, really crappy by tweaking it inappropriately.
Yeah, XB brought that up when we first started seeing pictures of these, and that was kind of the last assortment of that Masters of the Universe run.
Yeah.
I mean, for as bad as Bumblebee looked before, he looks worse. I mean, tons of spikes and stuff, just indistinguishable kibble nonsense. I mean, this is just 90s crap. I mean, this is just the kind of stuff that they would do 20 years ago to try to make something. I mean, it is essentially the same Bumblebee with just more junk. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I think that bothers me, is it's like, repaints are, and that's always been one of the strengths of Transformers, is that you can take a figure and you can repaint it, and then you can say this is a different character. Like, that's not a problem. We're used to that. That's been in the series since
forever, yeah.
So we're used to that convention. And people may complain about repaints a little bit, but it's like, as long as you're saying it's a different character, it's not so bad. And especially if it's a good mold or something. But this is worse than that. This is the same mold with retooling in similar colors, repackaged and represented like it's something new when it's not. So it's the same Bumblebee, just with spikes. And maybe, you know, the color is basically the same. You're not even getting a new character out of it.
But I mean, it's obvious, though, by looking at it in the package, that it's the same toy. So it's not like they're like completely past. It's not like they're being completely disingenuous. I mean,
no, I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying it's completely uninteresting. Adding all the spikes and stuff doesn't make the figure any more interesting or better. It doesn't improve the character, so it doesn't give you it. You don't get anything more out of it, maybe other than the weapon. But that's kitschy stuff.
Is this worse, though, than like during the Unicron trilogy, especially when they would take Megatron and just paint it purple and call it Galvatron?
I think that's like a convention that's existed for, I mean, at least since like RID, you know, where they would take Megatron and Megatron would like become Galvatron, you know. That so that's, I'm not saying that that's a great convention, but it, I mean, it's I think it's worse than saying it's a different character. You know what I mean? It's very similar to the Galvatron thing you're saying, yes. But at least that's like a different color, because sometimes different colors on the same mold, you know, they kind of can do different things for it, and especially when it's a different character. I mean, at least like the Hotshot version of the Bumblebee mold, you can go, okay, that's a different character. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different head mold, different colors, different character. Not a great mold still, but hey, at least it's not Bumblebee, you know?
Yeah.
But this is still Bumblebee, still same mold, different head, you know, slightly different head, and lots of spikes.
Yeah.
Going to be sitting right next to the regular Bumblebees that they still cannot sell.
Yeah, that's true. I would be interested in seeing what Rob Springer's got to say. He seems to be really big on the Beast Hunters stuff so far. He's going to post an RTM1, I think the show's recording on Wednesday. I think he's posting an RTM1 on YouTube on Thursday, so I hope that he actually covers that. Because I would like to see, I would like to see his, you know, sort of apology for it. An apology in the literal, like, you know, apologia sense from Greek, you know, defending it. You know, what his thoughts are. So, normally, I knew JD is going to come on and just complain. And normally I'm not big on, you know, just sort of talking bad about the product. Not because I want to be an apologizer. It's just that nobody wants to hear complaints. You know, nothing but constant complaining. But, you know, we're not about constant complaining. We're about being here, enjoying the brand, enjoying the line. But when we see something that just doesn't make sense or irritates us, you know, you kind of bleed, you know, you suffer along with it. And this is just a, you know, just not a great year and a half for the Transformers brand.
I mean, not only have the figures been painfully trickling out, so, you know, we're not even getting very good distribution. So for some of the things that, like, I mean, I haven't seen an Ultra Magnus on the shelf. You know, I've seen, which one's that one? The Thundertron, the Jet, I'm sorry. I'm not watching the show, so I don't.
Dreadwing?
Yes. So I've seen, like, a couple of him. But I've not seen any Ultra Magnus, I've not seen any Thundertron.
Kim picked up a Sergeant Cup for me today.
Those are in high abundance at, like, Toys R Us. You can get 15 of those.
I've only seen a couple of them.
Oh, my God. They're, like, all over my Toys R Us. Like, three or four pegs full of, like, that assortment.
I've only found one first edition Viacon so far.
I'm sorry, you're talking about the Prime one. No, I haven't seen that one either. But talking about the Prime distribution, I mean, and then even over on the Generation side, you know, I've not seen any of those Bruticus figures on the shelf.
I've seen them twice now.
I've seen plenty of Prime and Jazz and Shockwave, but, you know, none of the Bruticus set, so... And now we're going to move over to this Beast Hunter stuff, which is going to be half new stuff. And I'm impressed by the animal stuff as well. I mean, this is the same kind of, like, early crap that you would see, but worse, in a way, out of some of the Beast work, because it's basically just stand it up. You know, I mean, this Laserback figure has a tail passing for an arm with a joint in the back with, like, rockets, what?
Yeah, I think once they started putting out stuff like Mega Class stuff in Beast Wars, I think they really hit their stride. When it was just the crap that was like the previous, like the late G2 stuff, or, you know, like they would just flip or whatever, those were kind of crummy. But, you know, by the third wave, Beast Wars was really solid.
Yeah, it was. But do we have that many waves of Beast Hunters?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
XB and I have actually talked about this before, as far back, in fact, as Universe in 2008, which is that somewhere along the line, they really lost the knack of doing Beast Transformers.
Oh, yes. I think you would think that, like, you would think that the handful they did in Cybertron, they would be able to catch up, but, Universe Cheetor...
is awful.
It's awful.
Universe Dinobot is good because it looks like Dinobot in robot mode, and actually in beast mode, but it's, you know, in terms of being a toy, it's not wonderful. It's decent, but not wonderful. More recently, I can tell you that as a beast transformer, Thundertron is a complete failure. He makes a really neat-looking robot pirate, and then you kind of have to remember he transforms, sadly.
Yeah. You know, there's... just frankly, there's enough old molds they could pull out of the closet. I mean, mm-hmm. Takara has made entire lines of old crap. You know, Hasbro for a while had their Universe was just old crap. There's enough old molds sitting around Beast characters that they could just pull out, like they did with Robots in Disguise, when they just, you know, fleshed that out with, like, Machine Wars molds and stuff. Where, you know, kids buying toys now haven't seen those. You know, the fans would appreciate some of that. I mean, there's some molds. Hell, pull out the Megatron mold again. Have another T-Rex, like T-Rex 2 or something. You know, I would buy it. But of course, you don't want them to, like, not make beast molds, because if they don't get any practice at it, never go back to it. And I like beast stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's
when it's done well, it's good, but, I mean, this is the worst of the worst. These are bad beast figures put together with just demolished, you know, robot and vehicle figures. I mean, they've taken perfectly good molds and made them look awful, and then they have crap animals. And, you know, and like I said, I know, I'm being downer on it, I'm sorry, but, man.
It's like you said, it's mediocre Beast figures and then reruns of last year's toys with crap strapped to them.
Yeah.
Is this, so what was the last time that was just this bad?
There are redeeming things, I think, about most lines, you know, about a lot of the lines have been out. I mean, I even liked, you know, for like Unicron Trilogy stuff, I mean, those at least had some form of a decent gimmick that could carry through. You know, even if they weren't the Power Links figures, they still had, you know, Minicon ports and things like that. And even when you repaint those, they're still good figures, you know, like I said, and if they're different characters, that's even better. So there's a lot of redeeming things, I think, for most of the lines. But this is, like I said, this is bad in an especially weird way because they've taken good figures and made them bad. They're not retooling them into anything better. They're just putting, you know what this is like? This reminds me of the Cyborg figures from, like, Beast Wars 2nd.
You know, you know what this reminds me of? And it's going to sound, for me to say this, this is going to sound weird, but this is probably like the worst stuff we've seen since the first couple of waves of G2. I love G2, but it's just the G1 mold. It's just the G1 molds with crappy accessories.
Yeah, that's probably the closest thing that we've seen over here to liken it to. Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, go ahead, Rob, sorry.
And G2, at least in that case, had the benefit of being things that, you know, we hadn't seen in 8 years, or you broke when you were 7, or, you know, and such. I mean, I replaced quite a few of my early G1 figures thanks to G2. And
some of them are, you know, very comparable, like Inferno and, you know, Optimus.
Yeah. Inferno is just pretty much straight up the original figure
with a tampograph.
Yeah. So, they, you know, like we've been saying, they would have been smarter to take older molds and bring into this as opposed to last year's molds, because then they're, you know, that's the problem. They're competing now with the stuff that is still sitting on the shelves from last year. This is not smart.
Well, maybe this is how they're going to sell through that old stuff. I don't know. I don't want to run this into the ground. We all feel bad about this. We're not complaining because we want to complain. We're feeling bad because we kind of have to complain. I mean,
we have tried and we have talked really good about stuff, you know, in the past. And it's not to say that we faked it. It's just that, you know, we tend to be pretty positive as compared to, you know, other sources or whatever. You know, we tend to be pretty positive on this stuff. And, you know, for me, I've been pretty solid into Transformers for a long time, but I have no interest in this. Like, this has just killed any kind of interest and hope that I had. You know, even though I wasn't watching Prime, I at least had an interest in the figures.
You know what I will always have an interest in, though? Legend size stuff.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Anything that comes out that's that scale, I still enjoy. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, I mean, and that may be some of the stuff that really can carry the line if they can find ways to market it. I'm still seeing that stuff sitting on the peg.
Yeah.
So
let's go ahead and move ahead. I don't want to belabor this. It's just So let's go ahead this week on the show. In addition to this. This is amazing. But in addition to this, we also have Nicole is back. Nicole is back this week. She and Amy record another Transformers Rescue Bots review. And this week, the episode they do is The Other Doctor. Also, Amy has the latest comic news. I think she called it the comic news for November. I think she's just bundled everything together. A lot of stuff is going on. I didn't watch it. because I haven't read Transformers more than meets the eye 11. And I'm not even going to look at the chat now.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to know what happens. I'm going to read it tonight. I'm so behind. Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
We caught a little bit of flack, I think, on Fanboy Versus because we didn't talk about it.
I'm glad you didn't. I saw that Adam wanted to be on, and he's like, for obvious reasons, and I'm like, crap.
Yeah.
He tweeted us. He was like, I want to be on and talk about that. Was it Adam or was it Matt?
I think it was Timey.
Yeah, it was Time Lord. Timey to Wine. I just call him Matt because I can never
describe which channel. We're in the new age of online where it's like people use creative things like their real names.
Yeah, I've been using my real name since 1998.
Yeah, well, that's because you're a narcissist. So.
This is true, but we also have this week Transformers Rewind, which is my absolute favorite episode of Transformers ever.
He's happy.
Life can be sacrificed for peace on Earth. You are not. You heard me right. It's not. I risk my life for Earth, which is the original title. It's the headmaster dub of my favorite episode ever. So I'm excited. I'm actually going to minimize the chat now. Sorry, guys. I don't want to see some XV will spoil me. Actually, I need to sign out of Google Chat, too. I'm signing out completely. I am now signed off. So now let's go ahead and jump to comic news with Amy. After that, we'll have Rescue Bots. And then we'll go to Transformers Rewind. So we will be back.
It's now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Hello, it is Amy, and I am back once again for another Transformers Comics News and Reviews in 5 minutes, except today it's probably going to be 10 minutes because I haven't done this for a good 3 weeks, so sorry, it's just been really busy, and of course holidays and everything have hit, so it makes for crazy, crazy life, right? So I'm a bit behind on news, and we've had several things come out, so I'm going to be as brief as possible. But there's a lot to cover, so we'll crack right in. We've had several birthdays, in that time that I've been gone. Writers James Roberts and Chris Metzen and artist Livio Ramondelli have all had birthdays. So happy birthday, guys. Hope they were good. Remember that art book, The Art of the Fall of Cybertron art book that I've been raving about for the last year and a half? It's finally being printed, so stay tuned. As soon as I get it, I'm sure I'm going to talk about it again and again and again, because I'm going to be pretty excited to have it in hand and to be able to say, hey, this is it. Come, you gotta buy it. We've also gotten the solicits for February of 2013. I'm going to be brief about these. If you want more details, definitely bring up tformers.com and check it out. And check out the online intel on all these comics for February and their accompanying covers, because there's some really good ones. We'll be getting Robots in Disguise, issue number 14, and More Than Meets the Eye, issue number 14, both of which have been teased as big benchmarks in the story, as it is just over a year mark for both titles. And if my memory serves right, issue 15 has been said to be pretty explosive and mind-warping. It has also been revealed that Spotlight for February will be Spotlight Megatron, and it will be written and drawn by Nick Roach. We'll also be getting Regeneration 1, issue number 88, and issue number 4 of Rage of the Dinobots. That's all the solicits, but speaking of Rage of the Dinobots, out this week, that's the comic that we're getting, the new Transformers Prime Rage of the Dinobots, issue number 1. This is available in your local comic shop and digitally. This last week, a fan audio drama of The Death of Optimus Prime was published from some of my friends over at the Old Oil House podcast. You can check out this recording at theoldoilhouse.libsyn.com. And I had a small role in this audio drama, and so did Nick, who does the Rescue Bots review with me, and several of my friends over many other podcasts in the Transformers fandom. So definitely give it a listen. They did a great job on it. So, yeah. And now it's time for some reviews for comics this month. Yeah, we've got two really, really great ones. It's been about a week since they've come out, but because I know some people out there have not actually gotten these, I'm going to leave a few of the really, really important details out. So you'll have to mind my keeping people from being spoiled. What can I say? These two issues were just too good. And the bad part about it is that they had each other to compare to. So hopefully everybody enjoyed both of them the way that I did. But there's definitely one of them that stood out from the other. I have to say, really stinks when we get them both side by side, because it's like, which one do I want? Which one do I think is awesome? Which one is... There's going to be comparison. Come on. It just happens, right? Anyhow, that being said, I'm going to jump right into a review of Robots in Disguise, issue number 11, titled The End of the Beginning of the World, which, you know, considering the fact a month from now is supposedly the end of the world, it just seems kind of ironic. It is written by John Barber, and we've got artist Guido Guidi on it this year, or this month. And coloring was Priscilla Tramontano. In the aftermath of the Metro Titans reveal about Starscream being the conqueror and uniter of Cybertron's scattered warriors, Starscream lets his newfound favor go to his head. While an attack on one of Cybertron's most respected bots calls into question if the Decepticons' loyalties lie with Starscream or someone else's agenda. Metalhawk turns over a new leaf and decides to trust Bumblebee to do the job that he's supposed to do, although he still doesn't trust Prowl, and I don't blame him. New alliances are made, and an attack on the Con Pen just may shift belief again about where Prowl's priorities lie. But let it be said to never underestimate RC. The issue ends with a return of a character we haven't seen in a while. This issue was like a poker game. Starscream is dealt a hand and then was trumped by the attack on Omega. Then when he goes to investigate, he's trumped again to only have a few new cards in his deck dealt again. He then plays a new hand, and once he thinks he's gotten back on top, he gets trumped again by RC. And then the deck of cards comes crumbling down on the final page. It's like quite literally a nice little poker game. And Starscream is the main player, of course, but still, it's just kind of like, aw, Starscream, poor guy. Oh, just when you think you had everything, then you have nothing again. And he's not the only one that gets a chance to shine in this issue. RC has a moment to shine. Metalhawk, Dirge. It's just a really well put together issue of political maneuvering. The only thing that throws it off is the ending reveal, which although it works, it feels a bit too soon. But, you know, it is what it is. And it definitely steals the thunder of RC. The art was by Guido Guidi. It was colored by Priscilla. It's different from his retro annual work, though. It looks and feels like Robots in Disguise issues, so kudos for the artistic team for making this issue another ringer for me. I give it a solid 4 out of 5 Energon goodies. And now for my second review, it will be More Than Meets the Eye, issue number 11, titled Shadow Play, Part 3. It's our conclusion, and our writer is James Roberts, and our artist is Alex Milne. And it's colored by Josh Burcham. Our team of daring bots who are planning on stealing a fake bomb matrix pick right up where they left off in this last explosive, mind-blowing issue. Pax and company are paired up with some of the Senator's Academy attendees to break into the Primal Basilica where Nominus Prime's body is being kept for the funeral. Do they accomplish the very unlikely? You bet. And not without some problems, but in doing so, those they left back at base are put into harm's way. Meanwhile, in our present time, where the object of telling Orion Pax's story is to wake up Rung from his terminal state, we learn about what happened to Red Alert and what his fate will be. We also get more character moments from several of the cast favorites, like Chrome Dome and Whirl and Rewind, Ratchet, and Ultra Magnus, and a scattering of nods as James tends to put a lot of little details in his elaborate stories. Lastly, as Pax races back to help those in danger in a very explosive ending, ultimately he loses out and we learn the identity of the unnamed senator he's been building for the last year and a half. It's a jaw-dropping reveal, and as for Rung, did the story wake him up? Well, you'll have to read this comic to find out. Again, James knocks it out of the atmosphere, and Alex Milne does another stellar job illustrating. We did get some inkers this go round. Usually Alex does his own inking. And he did on some of the pages, but not all of the pages were inked by him. There is a bit of a drop in some of the details because the other inkers didn't ink it the way that it probably would have pulled off a little bit better. But for the most part, it was pretty pleased with this issue. A good payoff conclusion, and my only frown on it is that this is the end of this three-parter. But it's not the end of The Lost Light, as we end this issue with an unknown alarm. So looking forward to that next issue to find out what that was all about. So I give this issue a 5 out of 5 Energon goodies. Yeah, it was that good. Also, before I wrap up, there is another comic coming out this week other than Rage of the Dinobots, and I forgot to, talk about it just because it is a Hasbro brand licensed comic, but it doesn't feature Transformers, and if you are into My Little Pony, you'll have to check out this comic because it's kind of fun. And that's pretty much it for my review today. I also wanted to put out there that over on The Underbase, the other podcast that I co-host and run, I did do an interview with Casey Collar. So, yeah, check it out. It's at The Underbase at libsyn.com. And we will see everybody, hopefully, next week. See ya.
Jumping in for a random Radio Free Cybertron sponsored Rescue Bots short review. I am Amy.
I am Nick. Hi.
And we've been on break for the last few weeks, and it'll probably continue for a bit still, but we had some time today to put together one of these, so
stars aligned, bad luck turned into good luck, and, The gods smiled upon us, and look, we're here for you guys.
We're here to run a review. Woohoo! Awesome. So today we will be reviewing The Other Doctor. It premiered on The Hub on May 19th of 2012, so not too long ago, 6 months, something like that. This is the episode that introduces for the first time Dr. Morocco. And since Doc Green has been fired, there is a position open for the town scientist. So in a series of events, not only is Morocco able to get the job, but he is able to convince the town council that his Morbot can also replace the Burns rescue team as well. Much to the dismay of our heroes that are like, what? No! Anyhow.
Yeah. It's definitely a RoboCop feel.
Yes. Let me tell you. And strangely enough, the Morbot's brutal force, finesse, doesn't alarm the town council either.
Yep, exactly.
And before the episode is done, Cody suspects that Dr. Morocco is causing some of the problems that continue to occur. which launches us into a two-part episode, although we're just going to talk about the first part this week.
So stay tuned for next week.
Yeah, exactly. And let's see, the incidents that we have that convince people that this Morbot is able to, you know, do a better job than the rescue team. They have an explosion on the pier that causes a fire. What the audience sees that the, you know, the rest of them don't see is that it's actually caused by something that Morocco did.
Yep. You know,
yeah,
bad guy.
Yes. Bad guy being typical bad guy. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A kid's rocket runs out of control, which happened to be in Morocco's hands just before it went crazy.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I wonder what happened with that. And Doc Green's solar-powered car goes crazy. Again, after the fact, they find out that there were those little nanite things, the little cones were in it.
I love the nanites. I see, again, continuity. This show does such a great job with it. I love it.
And then, you know, hey, you know, Tim Curry, yay!
You can't go wrong. That just makes the show, you know, 20% cooler, as Rainbow Dash would say.
20% cooler. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Tim Curry's awesome, man.
And to wrap up, the solar-powered car about crashes into the mayor, and the Morbot saves them by pounding the car into the stairs. I did mention that whole, you know, brutal force finesse, right?
Yeah, exactly. I blame the mayor for the troubles. You know, you get the mayor around, it's either him or Doc, you know?
If it's not one, it's the other, you know?
Yeah, so you're just like, now, are they ever in the same place at the same time?
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
When, he's screaming at him, Doc Green!
Exactly.
You did
exactly.
This! Oh, goodness. So that pounding into the, you know, the pavement thing, that ended with the mayor pretty much hiring Morocco on the spot and replacing the Burns and the rescue team at the end of this episode. So, but don't mess with Frankie, man. She promises to find out how Morocco planned out all of this. She's like, doing the whole head swing thing. Like, oh, no, you did not. It's like, oh, go for it, girlfriend.
I love it.
It was great. Love that. So the kids are, you know, yeah, they're not the only ones, but yeah, I liked how at the very end of this, the kids are not the only ones, I take it back. The kids are the ones that are positive. Hey, we'll figure this out. We're gonna, you know, things are falling apart, but we, you know, we're gonna keep everybody together. We're the glue. I liked the fact that the kids were like, oh, no. It's like, we'll figure this out. We'll get your jobs back. And everybody's like kind of depressed. I was like, yeah, man, listen to the kids.
We're going to allow some kids to get our jobs back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have to have a purpose in the show, right?
She's awesome. I love that girl. She's awesome.
Yes. Frankie totally made it. She's like, yeah. It was an enjoyable episode. Definitely great to see a longer storyline of the show. I know their target audience is preschool-aged kids, so mine completely enjoyed seeing this back-to-back because it was a back-to-back episode. They did the first episode, and then they did the second. So even though we're doing it on two different weeks, go figure.
Yep. I think it's a good way, though, you know.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it for this episode.
Yeah,
so.
It's a lot of fun. Again, it's Tim Curry. What else do you need, really?
You can watch it because Tim Curry's wasted.
Besides Rescue Bots being awesome, you get Tim Curry.
Yep. And we have actually reviewed this episode on the Rescue Center. So if you're interested in hearing our full review of it, jump on over to the Underbase at theunderbase.libsyn.com and check it out. I believe it was episode 12. And we reviewed this in June of 2012. And I think we did both the first and the second episode in one full podcast.
Did it together.
So, yep. You can check that out. And that's it for us today. We'll catch you next week. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Know the magic to control destiny with Spectral Knights Battle Evil Darkling Lords.
Visionaries, the magical powers they find. Visionaries. It's coming, an amazing holographic world erupting in furious battle as the visionaries fight for the power of the magical light. Coming soon from the makers of Transformers.
Vehicles in the Wheel Warriors collection are sold separately. Some parts not for use with some toys. New from Mattel. Watch out! Beast Walker is coming! Can Trailblazer stop him? The ultimate battle coming soon.
Stan Bush here, and I dare you to check out Radio Free Cybertron.
Radio Free Cybertron. Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers.
Rewind.
Life can be sacrificed for peace on Earth. And Transformers Rewind.
Fortress Maximus is unable to enlarge because he has used up his powers to operate on Spark.
Fortress Maximus, prepare for your death today. You're gonna die.
Galvatron is dead, and Scorponok has taken his place leading the Decepticons, proclaiming all Autobots have to die. The news of Scorponok becoming leader was reported immediately to Fortress Maximus. Sparkle remembers the upcoming World Summit, so Chrome Dome and Sparkle then left for Earth by robot train, which is like a hard-boiled egg. The summit on Earth concerns a certain type of rock existing within the Earth's egg white, which can cause volcanic activity, and the Decepticons seem to be taking advantage of it.
Can I go with him?
Commander, I'll have to leave for Earth as well, because the Earth Summit is about to open in a few days.
Did you say Earth Summit? Just what is that, Sparkle?
Well, this meeting is held by scientists from all over the world to examine the secrets of the Ring of Fire.
That's interesting. So you had better come with me to Earth, then.
Chrome Dome, you going alone?
Why not, sir? I'll be okay.
So Chrome Dome and Sparkle then left for Earth by robot train. The Earth is like a hard-boiled egg. With its outer layer as a shell, this is the thinnest part. Then there is the egg white, and the yolk represents the center of the Earth, hot, red, and boiling. The topic of the meeting is the morphic rocks, which lie in the second layer of the Earth, the egg white. The morphic rocks can cause the volcanoes to erupt. The aim of the meeting is to avoid these eruptions. Another reason Sparkle has attended the meeting is he's found out the Decepticons often attack these regions.
Trypticon interrupts Sparkle's geology lecture, and Sparkle refuses to find safety and insists on helping fight the giant robot dinosaur. And so, in short order, Sparkle is nearly killed. Quick! Somebody pull Autobot X out of the closet! Chrome Dome tells Danny he's sorry for endangering Sparkle, but it's too late for apologies. Sparkle is hurt badly, but manages to tell Danny never to cry, or else he won't be a man. The Decepticons attack Japan, but Fortress Maximus orders Chrome Dome to stay behind. Fortress Maximus has other things to do than lead the attack himself, so Brainstorm and his men leave for Earth on the robot train, where they end up getting their asses beat pretty quick by the Decepticons.
Fight me! Transform! Here, you come here! Come on, fight me!
You're dead. Not likely.
Chrome Dome, I'm gonna send you to hell.
No way!
Oh no, watch out!
What?
Oh no! Oh, my goodness. Come on.
Check on Sparkle. Is he okay?
Sparkle. 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 Sparkle.
Meanwhile, Sparkle.
Father. Father.
Benny, I'm proud of you, my son. You've shown me how strong you are.
Father.
Danny, listen. If anything ever happens to me, you'll have to be strong, you hear?
Father, you'll be okay, I'm sure.
You'll have to be strong. For me, Mother, and people on Earth, you'll fight the Decepticons. Okay?
Father!
Danny, boys can cry, but not out loud. Men don't cry, they only get stronger.
Father!
Come on now, brave men, don't cry, you know.
I'm not crying! I won't cry! I won't! I promise I'll be strong, Father!
Don't.
Father! How do you feel? Mother!
I'm all right. I won't die that easily.
Father! Please hold on, Father!
Fortress Maximus wants to use his superpower to save Sparkle. The procedure succeeds, but Fortress Maximus is completely spent and he can no longer enlarge himself. Scorponok observes the battle, eagerly awaiting Fortress Maximus to come himself. Chromedom takes over the search for Scorponok's weak point and soon discovers its location. Scorponok tells Fortress Maximus to prepare for his death today. He's going to die. The other headmasters attack, but it's useless. Scorponok throws Fortress Maximus in lava, but the power of the headmaster's theme song re-energizes him, and Fortress Maximus emerges at full power. And as Chromedom arrives to reveal the weak point, Fortress Maximus runs Scorponok through, causing him to fall in lava with no theme music to save him. At last, the battle is over. It's a miracle Fortress Maximus survived, but will Scorponok return? Of course he will!
Fortress Maximus, it's time for you to die.
Stop! Stop! Don't do it!
Save your breath. It's your turn next. You join him soon.
Oh, no!
No!
Oh!
I'm coming, Commander!
Master Sword!
This episode's pretty infamous. I think
you could say that.
I think most of the memes that have originated from the Headmaster's dubs pretty much come from this episode, with the exception of like some of the early ones where like darn that sound wave, yeah! It's like episode 4. But yeah, basically everything else that anybody knows about Headmaster's in dub form basically comes from this episode. It's a mess. It's a wonderful, beautiful, terrible mess. I love it.
Yeah, it's a work of art.
It is. So, I mean, it's pretty dense, too. If you take out all of the stuff that we find humorous, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to it, like things they throw in. Like at the beginning, Punch is actually observing the Decepticons. He doesn't even get a word in, at least not that it was dubbed. I think he actually was speaking in the original Headmasters. But it's just kind of cool that, you know, they started off the episode with Punch. I don't really know I Risk My Life for Earth top to bottom, like, as well as I know Life Can Be Sacrificed for Peace on Earth. So it's sort of hard for me to compare what happens in one to the other. So basically what I know is, like, Highbrow's looking for Scorponok's weak spot. You know, he's looking for the weak spot. And then basically Sparkle gets injured. Fortress Maximus uses his superpower to keep himself from enlarging, but he removes the fragment from Sparkle's brain.
Most useless superpower ever.
Yes.
And I have the power to not enlarge myself.
Yes, and then Fortress Maximus, of course, comes himself. Okay, I guess I just have to go balls out on this. So, basically, in this episode, it's craziness happens. I don't know what I want to start off with, so I think we'll start off with Six Shot. Six Shot is so awesome. I think one of my favorite lines from this. Yes! He killed Dr. Magnus.
He's essentially Bane, I guess.
Yeah, he killed Dr. Magnus. Yeah. I mean,
it's Chris Nolan's Bane.
He can do it. I mean, he totally can do that. It's been done. Of course, by this point, though, all of the characters on the show are still on the shelves, so the likelihood of him actually killing, I think it was Chrome Dome at that point, not really that likely. So basically,
what, Ultra Magnus, he's last year's toy.
Yeah, totally dead. So yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Autobot Spike or Autobot X, because I've always thought, you know, had the writers been thinking something a little bit different, they might have gone in that direction. And just imagine how wonderfully awful that would have been. But of course, you know, instead, you know, we did get boys can cry, but not out loud. Men don't cry. They only get stronger, which is probably my favorite Transformers quote ever.
Repress your emotions.
Yeah. Suck it up, kid.
That's right.
So when we were talking about Surprise Party in a previous rewind, I was talking about how Headmaster's Wheelie is more of just a dick. So Chrome Dome is like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to do this. Wheelie's like, it's too late for apologies. So
Sparkle never should have joined the fight. You should have known this yourself. And then somebody says to Wheelie, look, it's not Chrome Dome's fault. And Wheelie's like, but can't it be?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be easier? We really need someone to blame.
going back to the plot of the episode, so Scorponok and the Decepticons want to turn Earth, which is described as an egg, into another sun. With an atomic bomb.
Now,
what?
You know, yeah, like, that could be easier with maybe Jupiter, but Earth? There's not even enough material on Earth to make a sun. What?
Okay, look, JD.
There's not enough mass in either. Sorry, I just had to get that out.
JD, listen, this is the same episode where Fortress Maximus sacrificed his power to enlarge himself to remove a piece of shrapnel from Sparkle's brain. I don't think science is really the first thing up on the plate.
Well, it's not it's the energy. He used up the energy that he would use. See, that's the problem with watching, like, this awful dub versus...
Awful dub? Okay, sorry. I don't know what you're saying, so let me just recite this. What happened to the headmasters? Can't they fight without Chrome Dome? Fortress Maximus has come himself. Okay, then. I shall get Fortress Maximus to fight me. I love Scorponok so very much. I don't know what you mean. That's like Shakespearean.
So bad.
Come, Fortress Maximus. I'm waiting for you. I mean, it's awesome! I love this episode so much!
I'm having a geek out moment right here.
I love this episode.
Brian is having a geek out moment.
I get that people like this, but this is really awful. I mean, it's supposed to be awesome in its awfulness, but I don't know. It never endeared itself to me that way, I guess.
Well, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by this because JD doesn't care about G2 either, which makes them a bad and wrong person.
Yeah. Oh, Fortress Maximus, prepare for your death today. You're going to die. I mean, that's so awesome. How can you not like this?
I just shake my head. I don't know.
So the resolution of the episode. So Scorponok's weak spot, it's his most like vulnerable and like obvious spot on his body. I mean, that makes like no sense. I love this.
Well, you know, it's the same place where on the toy that the tech spec roller thing is.
Yeah.
Yes. How about
so
that?
It's like his center of all of his powers in his body.
Mm-hmm.
It's the center of his stats. We gotta destroy his stats.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, if you stab Scorponok in his stats, it's gonna defeat him.
Right.
That's right. And then how are we gonna know how many RBIs he drove in last
year? It's equivalent to pouring your soda on your friend's character sheet.
Except in this case, it would just gum it up, and his head wouldn't want to pop off.
Well, that sounds like it would be bad, too.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound great, either. Sounds like
This is the culmination of a long story arc where they've learned that Scorponok had a weak point, and they've been trying to figure out and learn where it would be, and that this finally wraps up that part of the story arc so they can get into the end stage of the series now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as much as the dub ends up making light of the situation, it was an important thing as for the series itself, even as formulaic anime as it was.
It's incredibly formulaic, and I'm a firm believer that the dub makes it, like, watchable.
Well, yeah, that's kind of my point here. I've watched all of Headmasters subtitled, and
it's not fun.
I mean, I enjoyed it on a level to watch all the way through one time to learn the story, but if I want to watch an episode of Headmasters just for fun, I would absolutely go for the dub over subs.
So we're coming back and doing the third-party roundup.
You should make the third-party roundup song the Psy Gundam style song. I don't know why, but it just sounds appropriate.
It sounds racist.
What?
I just think of the third-party stuff as being, like, Asian.
It's classist. That's what it is.
But. Yeah, I guess it could be classist. Okay, so this week on Transformers Rewind, next week, I don't know what we're doing because we haven't recorded them yet. We usually bundle those up.
You're the out of Rewinds? Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah. Last month we had five because we recorded an extra one to cover for Halloween. So, no idea what we're actually going to do. If you have a suggestion, email us at contact@tfradio.net or post it to our Facebook fan page.
Instead of being that, actually just email the last page of...
No! Okay, so this week it's our monthly third-party roundup, and gosh, I've signed my death warrant. So,
you're screwed.
Yeah, I am totally screwed. I'm not going to be able to get through this. So, so it's almost like an iGear month for me. You know, for the third-party stuff that I've purchased, I tend to go with iGear. I've also bought some Make Toys stuff, but iGear's... John and I were talking in the previous show. It's kind of sad, but we kind of have brand loyalty, and I've been going with iGear. So, this month, one of the first things I saw that sort of jumped out to me was the iGear MW01 Manatee and MW09 Tubes limited edition mini warriors. So basically what this is, it's Rager and Spray. I think it's Spray. I get the Make Toys and the iGear names mixed up. Repainted. I think they're like $30 each, which is for both toys a 50% markup over the retail of the original. But these...
Individually, they're 40. As a set, they're 70.
Oh, okay. Well, God. These originally retailed for $20 each. I have both of the original molds. Very nice. I like them.
Manatee!
I like the Make Toys version of Sea Spray better. But I think that one's Hover. But I really love Rager. And the cool thing about these, they're just getting reuse of the mold. They're not necessarily, like... Riffing on another character. They're just basically using the mold again. Is Tubes based on like an Argentinian
repaint? It's pipes.
It's pipes? Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's why it's called tubes.
Ah. I never had pipes.
Way to go, Brian.
Well, can't have everything. But then what in the heck is Manatee? Manatee?
That I don't know. That's the mystery to me.
It's not based on the repaint of the recent Sea Spray.
Ooh, I wonder if it is. I bet it is.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's pipes. Duh. But
thanks for playing.
Yeah, well,
and you're the third season guy too, and Pipes was all over the third season.
Did Pipes even speak in the third season?
Yeah, he did tons of stuff.
I just remember Pipes being like in the background.
No, he had lines.
Man, yeah, we'll fail. I suck. So yeah, we have those. They look nice, but the big thing though that we got for me, which is what I absolutely freaking love. More than anything else, are the other Iger toys that showed up. It's I want to make sure I get the names correct. We have MW06 Dunraker, MW05 Cogs.
Yeah.
That's a little too close, actually, to another Transformers name.
Yeah.
And MW8 Bushwhacker. So, of course, we have Dunraker, which of course is brain fart. Why did that my brain fart just like that?
Beachcomber,
and he's going to be repainted as he'll probably be repainted as, was it Sandstorm? No, Sandstorm was the repaint of the Legends Minibot, who was, of course, the Triple Changer. What was the, wasn't there a tan Minibot that was a repaint of, I guess there wasn't.
Might have been, but I don't remember.
No, I think I'm actually getting my Brawn and my Outback confused with.
Are you on Beachcomber. Drugs?
I am on drugs.
Okay.
I am on drugs. So, did you guys get the classics? I guess it was Generations by that point. Beachcomber.
No,
I did. It's pretty awesome, and they repainted the business as Sandstorm. I've got them both. They're both pretty nice. But I think there was maybe like a Argentinian repaint of Beachcomber. I was actually looking at the CHMS website where they have all of the third party knockoffs, and I saw a really nice red repaint of Beachcomber that I wanted, but this Iger version is really nice looking. But the coolest one though is Gears. I absolutely freaking love this. I want that so flipping bad.
Yeah, the Gears and Veer, the Cogs and Veer. Veer is great too, that's going to be another one that I'm going to want for sure. Especially if you're a fan of the More Than Meets the Eye, because that's basically going to be Swerve. So
yeah. And let's see here. We'll show Bushwhacker. I really don't care so much.
I'm not as excited.
I wanted to care, but I'm not a huge fan of the Not Brawn. I like it okay.
I had Outback, so I mean, I'm mildly interested, and it's a great head mold for that.
Yeah, let me get back to here. We'll pull this up.
I'm liking what they're doing with the dual heads too, with kind of like, you know, pick your favorite one, where they kind of got almost like an animation version.
Having them at this size class allows you to do that. So when they were doing this with the older, the smaller ones, actually, let me pull them up. I actually have them over here. I have a new display. So you have, let me pull this up. Here is Rager, which was at a $20 price point. And here is Hench, which is a $40 price point. Clearly, Hench is good to larger. And I'm not crazy about the size because I love the size. Compare the Rager to the Legends Brawn that I have from Universe. Very comparable. Compare Hench to Brawn, not so much. So I really like the fact that I could put these with my mini bots and my legend size figures, and they work pretty well. But if I can get a freaking Gears that looks awesome at the size class, and he has the two heads, I'll take it. I mean, Gears is pretty much my favorite mini bot. I have to get a small, amazing Spider-Man to go with him. I've got a Heroes Click Spider-Man, but he actually teamed up with the symbiote Spider-Man, wasn't it?
Yeah, Spider-Man was in the black costume at that
point. Yeah, so I'm going to have to get one of those. Damn it. So, Bushwhacker, the photo, it's... all I'm seeing is the prototype, so... I'm not dropping another $40 on this mold. No matter how bad, you know, I would like to have an Outback. JD, if you don't have it, I would consider it, but...
Yeah.
Let's see here. I'm just still paranoid that XV is going to somehow spoil me. So, we also have shots of TFC's Toys Uranus F-15 Eagle. It's not as G1 as I expected, which is good. It's not as, I don't want to use the word slavish. Some of these toys are really slavish to sort of the G1 design. This is, it's nice, and it's something that stands apart from, like, any of the aerial bots, but it's still like a nice homage. I don't think that they could be sued by that design. It's a nice way of putting it. Kind of like how the new Impactor. Is it Impactor that looks... that? No, no. Who is it that's based on Broadside?
Oh, yeah. I know the one that you mean. I can't remember the name of that
figure. It's like one of the Warbot things.
Warbot.
Well, it's the big one. I mean, that one, it's an homage to Broadside, but it's not, like, super slavish. So, it's nice. I'm not buying it, but it looks really nice. I kind of hate that I'm enjoying these third-party things so much.
Yeah. It's like, wow, this is where the good stuff is right now.
Yeah, and I'm certain Hasbro hates that, too.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We have, Planet X Genesis homage to the War for Cybertron and Mega Supreme. So
it is huge.
How big is it? I don't see it.
There is a picture I saw. I can't remember where I saw it. Maybe it was on T-Formers. Of the hand wrapped around the torso of Bruticus.
Holy crap.
Yeah. The claw hand was wrapped around the torso.
Is this like giant or... do you think he's that big?
I mean, it's huge. This thing is huge. The picture, based on the picture that I saw, I think it was actually over on TF Source, the sale page.
Okay.
I think if you go to, like, it was either there or, actually, you know what? It may have been a Captured Prey. Because I was actually looking for pictures of Paladin Chaos. Or Chaos Paladin, whatever that's called. And I think that is where I saw it. No, not Hegemon. Hegemon sucks.
Yeah, Hegemon sucks. I do want the Grindrod, though.
Yeah.
But I wanted Grindrod until I realized it was like $80. So.
Okay, yeah. Here's the, I'll copy it into the chat if links are enabled, which it looks like they are. Cool.
I'm not in the chat, so.
What, you're not looking at the chat?
No.
Can I send it into Skype? Where can I send this to you?
You just send it in Skype.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to talking about the next item. So as soon as you get that, I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
So that's a captured prey?
Yeah, that's a captured prey. And there's four images there, and one of them, again, is the claw wrapped around the torso of Bruticus.
Man.
And then there's a full body picture. So you can see how big the claw is. I mean, granted, the claw is pretty big in proportion to the body, but still, I mean, that should give you an idea that he could probably stand face-to-face with Bruticus with his arm out, level, and...
Let's look at that. Holy bejesus.
Be holding on to Bruticus, so...
That's ginormous.
Yeah, so it's a really big figure.
The claw compared to Fallout Cybertron Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that's another really good comparison.
That's absurd. That's huge.
Yeah, it's a pretty big figure. It's $350, too.
That's less than I would have thought, honestly.
Yeah, for third party.
I also like that somebody's finally trying to replicate the internal lighting gimmick from the War for Cybertron designs. It's about time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. You know what else is cool, though?
Oh, God.
My favorite thing. I completely missed this until today. So, it's the Head Robots drone kit, where you can turn the Dark of the Moon exclusive Vortex into Whirl. I want this so bad.
Oh, man, yeah.
God, I want that just ridiculously bad. And thanks to Tengu, I happen to have that Japanese exclusive Vortex. So, dear God in heaven, I must have that. That is awesome.
Neat.
Can you tell that I want that? What's the price on this thing? Do we have one? I will pay $50, $40 for that. I'll pay $25 for that right now. So it comes with a new head, new feet. God, I probably would pay $50 for that. But that's really nice. So, yeah, I really, 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 really want that. Anything? Oh, so this was something that I found surprising and kind of sad. The worst part is I don't like them. We have upgrade kits for Creo figures.
They're weird. You're not wrong for not liking them.
It like makes them like it gives them strange proportions.
Yeah, it really does. It does not work. I mean, it's not colored, so it may be a little bit preliminary, but it doesn't look right either. They look like they've got like Popeye proportions, is what it looks like.
It looks. I'm not trying to make fun of anyone with any extra chromosomes, but that's exactly what they look like.
I'm not saying that you look funny if you happen to have a few extra of those, but I'm saying that these look like that, and these look weird.
Yeah, I'm not pleased with these. So, but yeah.
I'm not saying that these Creon's parents were first cousins, but...
Oh, brother and sister, dude. Brother and sister.
Well, I honestly... The only real use I can see for those is they would probably go better making some kind of, like, powered armor for non-Transformer minifigures, and they probably work with LEGO minifigures, considering, but... I'm sure they're going to be above any price I'd want to pay for screwing around with them like that.
Yeah, I don't know what that would even cost. So.
Yeah, so last up in the third-party roundup this month, and I don't get this one. It's kind of cool, but I don't get it. It's the Head Robots Skeletron upgrade kit for Gigatron. So it basically turns your Gigatron from your BotCon set into Skeletor.
This is so, the stupidest thing.
Like, who would even do this? Because...
Do they expect to sell, like, 15 of these?
I mean, who has that figure, other than those of us who were dumb enough to...
Did you get it?
Yeah, I have the... I mean, I have the box set. I wonder if it would improve the price of that figure.
Oh, I bet it would. I bet you could sell that piecemeal with that kit and add tack on an extra $50 to it.
I wonder what that would sell for. Huh.
I'm saying you'd probably get 150 out of it.
That might be worth
it. I sold the frickin' Rodimus trailer for like $150.
Yeah.
So if I can sell the Masterpiece Rodimus trailer for $150, you can sell that for $150.
I am going to be selling that BotCon set. But I have the box, so I kind of hate piecemealing it.
You'll make more.
I know I will.
And then I'll be, I guess I could, what I should do is piecemeal it and then sell the empty box.
Yes, absolutely.
I wonder if somebody would do that.
I would buy some, I might buy part of it.
Yeah, okay, well, talk to
me. Yeah, we'll figure it out. So, but yeah, that's it for the third party roundup this month. Nothing else, anything interesting that you guys found, right?
Well, like I said, the only thing is I think Capture Prey finally put up a pre-order for that Chaos Paladin, which we've kind of seen how that's going to interact with the Power Core Combiner figures and stuff, since we've already seen parts of the armor sets and things. So that Chaos Paladin actually comes with like a unique Power Core Combiner center figure, and then the armor attaches to that, and that's what kind of makes it look like not Fallen, the Dreamwave version. So
do you still want that?
It's $105. I'm going to have to think about it. Because, I mean, I do, but I'm like I said, like, honestly, I'm serious. I'm not kidding when I say this, that Beast Hunters has turned me off so hard to Transformers that it's even, like, turning me off to, you know, things I thought I wanted, you know, it's just like, you know.
Thankfully, nothing has hit me like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just like, hate it.
Well, thinking about moving across country and going to school or something made me want to do that, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, no. Okay, so that'll do it for this week. Thank you guys for being here. I'm going to hop offline really quick and go read my Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, issues 8 through 11.
Are you open any emails, read text messages, look at anything? Look at anything.
Yeah, so I really need to do that real quick. So, for the guides, I'm Brian Hilby. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TFRadio and Twitter at TFRadio. We will see you later.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.